Thanks to Indeed for sponsoring the Apple Bits XL. Indeed knows hiring needs to be cost-effective when you're running your own business. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/AppleBits. Terms and conditions apply. All right, everybody, we've got to talk about the latest software update to Apple Vision Pro, which makes it better. We've got iPad rumors. Is Apple really doing a robot now? Are we talking robots? We've got that and a whole lot more. So you know what time it is. Let's get to the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Apple Bits XL. Brian Tong here, your host. Doing the most for everything good and bad inside the world of Apple. Welcome, everybody. It is episode 302. We keep on chugging along. If you are new to the show, welcome. If you're a regular, welcome. So we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We have some Apple Vision Pro news, whether or not you have one, but it's interesting. We've definitely got to talk about all the iPad rumors. And now that Apple is no longer doing an Apple car, we've literally got rumors about Apple robots. Sounds like fun? I guess. We'll see. But before we do that, let's just get to some orders of business in the show. First of all, if you want to be a part of the show, I love hearing from you all. All you got to do is record a voice memo on your phone, your tablet, your laptop, whatever it is. Send it in to applebitsshow@gmail.com. That's applebits with a Z, your name, where you're from, what you want to talk about, and we will put you in the show. You got to love that. Also, this show is brought to you by you. Patreon.com/Brian Tong is how you support my content. It's how you all support this podcast. And really, it helps with all my other stuff. It starts at $2 per month, $5, which is like a cup of coffee, $10, the $25, and the $100 platinum Apple level. And what do you get? You get early access to content, rewards at different levels, and a completely ad-free version of the show. So you don't hear any of this for all future shows. So Patreon.com/Brian Tong is how you support. All right. Let's get into the nitty-gritty. And, you know, we always have to talk about when there's actual updates and Apple news and Apple releases something. And this week, it was the new Apple Vision Pro Spatial Persona. Now, we know about the Persona beta. This is where it creates basically a, let's call it a semi-lifelike avatar. Now, Vision OS did get updated to Vision OS 1.1. I think it's at 1.1.1 now. And it did improve some mouth movements and responsiveness with the avatar. So there's been slight improvements. Also, some of the facial captures, people that didn't have the best ones in Vision OS 1.1, their facial capture improved. Now, for someone like me, I tried to see a difference between the original persona that I captured and the new updated persona that I captured. And I really saw no difference because, I mean, a lot of you chimed in and said, damn, your persona looks really good. And I've got to admit, I mean, I was really impressed with how it turned out. So what we're now talking about is we had the Persona beta, and what we showed you if you watched my video review is that if you were in a FaceTime call, everyone was kind of in a tile, a self-contained tile. Well, now the spatial Persona beta, right? So we're not going from Persona beta to spatial Persona beta. It's designed to make you feel like you're basically interacting with people in the same space and the same room. So instead of being stuck in tiles, if you're in a FaceTime call now, and this is a over-the-air software update that happened, and basically they flipped a switch. If you're in a FaceTime call with any friends and you look on the right-hand side of that FaceTime call kind of interface, typically you look down, you can like end the call, but right above it is this icon that looks like a half-person, half-shadow, and that is the spatial persona. And when you hit it, let's say you're in a conversation with three people, it now puts you in the space in the room you're at, but these other two people are in front of you, one on your left, one on your right. You're in the center, but you're in a like triangle formation. It supports up to five people, so the more people, right? If it was four, it'd be more like a square. If it was five, I guess you'd say it'd be more like a pentagon type arrangement. But depending on where you turn and make eye contact with, that's who it looks at, and everyone can see where you are in perspective to each other. I can run all the way to the far end of my room and I get further from everyone and everyone sounds quieter. You can get right up close to someone. If you get too close, it actually turns your persona into this like disk icon. So it means, okay, backup. But then what's really cool is if you start, you can do that with just with the chat, but when you start interacting with content, let's say we're watching a movie, it then lines us all up in a row and I can look left and right, side to side. A little nugget I forgot to tell you is because it knows how high you are from the floor, right? It knows the height you are. Depending on if you're short, medium height, or tall, that will be represented when you're in this spatial persona experience. So height is reflected as well. So if you're shorter, you're going to look short. You're going to have to look up at people. It really reflects this properly. Now, when we talk about sharing content, if I'm watching a movie, then everyone lines up and I can look left, I can look right, and it's as if we're sitting watching a movie experience together. That was really cool. There's if you're playing, shoot, I forgot what the name of the board game was. Is it, someone's going to kill me, but there's an Apple Vision Pro app. It's not called board games, but it's basically you could play anything from checkers to cards to Battleship. And now you can play up to four players and use share play. And all these people that were in this FaceTime call are now at each side of a four-sided table interacting and playing these board games together. I thought that was really cool. But it just gives you a feeling of being in an actual space with other people. You could do things like Freeform, which is Apple's whiteboard app, and you can walk up to it and in real time collaborate. So this is definitely taking the persona to, do I have to say it, another level. It still is kind of gives you this little Jedi ghost-like feeling, but I think it's really impressive and definitely levels up the interactivity, the immersiveness, feeling like you're in the same space with other people. And you can do this for watching movies, TV shows, FaceTime, and other video calls. You can use it for Freeform and playing games and even using apps like the NBA app. But you or both of you would need to have, obviously, an NBA League Pass subscription to enable you to both watch all those games. But you could hang out. You could really feels like you're hanging out more with people. Now, when you think about this setup, it's like, ooh, okay, if we have spatial personas and there will be live events in the future, whether or not you're doing a share play live event with people, or we could even be in a concert venue and see representations of spatial personas, not in a tile, but sitting in a arena like format, which is very real. And I've got, you know, again, I've talked about this. Next VR was the company that Apple acquired, and you were able to change camera angles while watching an NBA game, placing you in a different location. You could really see all this just coming together. So spatial persona is really going to unlock this feeling of being and presence with this persona or this avatar that Apple has built. So again, it is still in beta. If you have Apple Vision Pro, you can try it. You'll need someone to try it with. I was gone. I forgot to tell you all. I was gone all last week. I was on vacation. I escaped to Scottsdale and Sedona, Arizona. And to be honest, Sedona was incredible. I've never been there. I went out to the gorgeous Antelope Canyon Valley. I went to Horseshoe Bend. I did a tour in Sedona to really just unwind, unwire, disconnect, and connect with nature. And so this actually happened while I was on vacation. So now Spatial Persona is here. If you want to check out videos online, I have not done a video on this yet, but I will soon. But it is available right now for Apple Vision Pro owners. If we're sticking with Apple Vision Pro, also they released a new immersive video over the past week featuring the 2023 MLS playoffs. And what I've got to tell you about this is, remember, Apple Immersive Video is their platform. And when you watch this, you're just like, wow, this stuff looks incredible. It really makes you feel there. And I'm just waiting. I've got to imagine it's not happening this year, but are we targeting 2025 to finally give us immersive video live sports? And can MLS be that place where we first see it? That's what I want to see. I would love that. And I mean, everyone would. It's going to be either the NBA or the MLS, maybe Major League Baseball. But the reality is that if you've looked at any of the Apple immersive videos, the cameras they have, they're like big, huge rectangle towers. They're almost like mini fridges that look like they're about 5 feet high. I mean, they're large. Watch the Alicia Keys video. You'll be able to identify where those cameras are, of course. They're capturing high fidelity, 8K. They're capturing at three-dimensional video. It's amazing. So if you have Apple Vision Pro, check out the MLS playoff video that they did. Also, some rumblings around the Apple Vision Pro. A report says that Apple Pencil, although currently compatible with iPads only, a future version of the accessory may work with the Apple Vision Pro. Now, according to the reports, Apple Vision Pro is being tested internally with the Apple Pencil with Vision OS support. That's according to Mac Rumors. And this would allow the Pencil to be used in drawing apps, maybe something, obviously, like Freeform is Apple's own app, and Pixelmator. It would definitely help with the whiteboard type content creation and collaboration. No specific details are being given on the project, but the report says one possibility is users could maybe draw with the Apple Pencil on a desk or some other flat surface, and then that drawing would appear in whatever Vision OS app that's being shared. So essentially, even if you could draw in air, this essentially turns all of your surroundings into a giant canvas. And I could imagine digital artists creating full room environments if they were able to have enough specificity, control, different brushes and textures to play with this and create essentially an art room or an art volume. Let's call it an art volume. So we know that a new Apple Pencil is rumored to launch with the new iPad and iPad Air models that may be coming either this month, but we'll talk about later. Some reports are pushing it more out to May. But there's no confirmation if they will support Vision OS. All we know is, according to the report from Mac Rumors, is that it's being internally tested at the moment. So no guarantee that this is going to happen. And then if we're talking about the iPhone front, this is something for all of you that you could take advantage of. We had Gil on the show, and we had talked about a little bit about spatial video, and Gil talked about how he was capturing spatial video knowing he'd want some of these memories in the future. Well, there's now a $3 third-party app that can record spatial video on iPhone 15 Pro models in 4K at a higher resolution than what Apple offers, right? Right now, Apple offers, 1080p at 30 frames per second. This app called Spatialify, so think of Spatialify, can now record videos with HDR in 1080p at 60 frames per second or in 4K at 30 frames per second. That's pretty awesome. Now, this app also, if you remember, you might have heard about this app. It came out when Apple launched the Vision Pro because it also allows other devices, like you could record video with your iPhone 15 Pro, and it allows it to put it in a format that could be played back on Meta Quest 3 and other 3D headsets and TVs to be viewed. So they're ahead of the curve, and we'll see. You know, the thinking obviously is that Apple will eventually release a 4K version of spatial video, but Spatialify beat them to it, and it's a $3 app, and I bought it. So this is for people that want to capture those memories and still have them. And you can now do it in 4K. Pretty awesome. All right, let's talk about some new projects that Apple's working on that has been reported on. According to VentureBeat, Apple researchers have just revealed a new AI system that they believe can outperform ChatGPT-4. Let's call it GPT-4, the platform. ChatGPT is like the app, but it can beat out GPT-4. Now, according to the report, Apple researchers have developed an artificial intelligence system named ReALM. So it stands for Reference Resolution as Language Modeling. And the goal is to radically enhance how voice assistants understand and respond to commands. So in this research paper, Apple is talking about a new system for how large language models tackle reference resolution. And large language models is, think of it as the information that we feed into an AI, and it uses it as its reference source for all decisions it makes. And, you know, the more data we feed it, the better and more accurate it can get. So this involves deciphering ambiguous references to on-screen entities, as well as understanding conversational and background context. So ultimately, what all that means is, as a result of this, re-ALM could lead to more intuitive and natural interactions with your devices. So it constructs or reconstructs the visual layout of a screen using text representations. So this involves parsing everything it sees on screen, entities, meaning people, their locations, to generate a textual format that captures this screen's content. And then by doing this, by assigning essentially text to all the different things that it sees on screen, combined with fine-tuning of their language models, this significantly outperforms some of these traditional methods, including OpenAI's GPT-2 platform. So this could just make it a lot easier. All this stuff is going to happen in the background, but the goal is for this to make it easier for us to interact with digital assistants more efficiently, with more reference to what is currently being displayed on screen, without us needing to be really super precise. We don't have to give as detailed instructions. Essentially, this AI will know what we're seeing, be able to interpret what we're seeing, and maybe it's something like using pronouns and saying, oh, what is he wearing over there on the left? Or what is she doing, out in the far corner? Like, it's able to really interpret the images and make these voice assistants understand us a lot better. And, you know, this is one of those things that there's so much work that goes behind the scenes in these AI assistants that we don't know about. And when they work, we're like, it's awesome. And when it doesn't work, we're like, this sucks. So if you pay attention, Apple has continued to publish multiple AI research papers. They revealed a new method for training their large language models to integrate both text and visual information. So they continue to throw out and sprinkle these little things of how AI is going to be a huge part of their future. iOS 18 has been reportedly called the biggest software upgrade, kind of the biggest thing to happen to the iPhone in a long time. We know and expect that there will be new AI features. There's been rumblings and reports that Apple was talking to Google to potentially incorporate some of their AI features into iOS, kind of a partnership. We already know that Google and Apple are in bed together when it comes to search. And so AI, Google and Apple doing search together, and then Google and Apple doing AI together, that seems like some government body might end up looking into that at the rate things are going today. But we'll see how this all comes together. I think this WWDC is one of the more and most fascinating WWDCs because Apple, we haven't seen their approach, what they're going to do. If you watched my interview that was on Apple Campus, we talked to Anand Shimpi, and he deliberately talked to, if you caught it, he talked about how the current processors with the A17 Pro in the iPhone is already easily able to handle generative AI. He outright said that. And so that's a hint that, to me, a lot of people are worried that, oh, will Apple's current iPhones be able to support these new AI models? The fact that he said it that way, again, this is not official, would lead me to believe that at least the 15 Pro lineup would be able to handle the same AI tasks they announced at WWDC this year, but we're going to have to wait and find out. But, you know, it's always fun to see what Apple is doing. You want to know what else Apple is doing? I kind of shrug my shoulders because, let's be honest, whether I was going to buy it or not, and to be honest, I wasn't anytime soon, I wanted to see an Apple car. I wanted to see what their vision of a car was really going to be. And to me, it's kind of a damn shame that it didn't happen. But now, according to Bloomberg's Mark Gurman, Apple's exploring various personal robotics projects in an effort to potentially create their next big thing. So one of these projects is described as a mobile robot that would follow users around their homes, while another project is said to be an advanced tabletop home device that uses robotics to move a display around. Engineers, and this is a quote from the article, engineers at Apple have been exploring a mobile robot that can follow users around their homes, and the iPhone maker has also developed an advanced tabletop home device that uses robotics to move a display around. I don't know if this is like a table with a display that's a swivel, or is this like a Boston, are they called Boston Dynamics, the company that makes those crazy like dog-like robots. Anyways, Apple's playing with robotics, and the thinking is that Apple's home robot may compete with Amazon's Astro, if you've seen that. I don't know any single person that actually honestly owns Astro and uses Astro. I saw Astro. I was intrigued. I don't need one of those right now. But Astro serves as a mobile virtual assistant to help with home security monitoring. But as for a tabletop device, I mean, would it maybe move around on a table at one end of a table to be able to be used like a FaceTime camera? This is just really interesting, but out there, and there's not enough definition around it. But the takeaway here is Apple is working with personal robotics to potentially find their next big thing. So when we see it, nobody knows, but hey, it's in the works. All right, let's take a breather now to thank the sponsor of this podcast, Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. So don't search, match with Indeed. Now, if you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. It's leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And something that I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place super easy with Indeed's hiring platform. So candidates you invite to apply are three times more likely to apply to your job than candidates who only see it in search, according to US Indeed data. We get you one step closer to the hire by immediately matching you with quality candidates, and listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/AppleBits. Just go to Indeed.com/AppleBits right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/AppleBits. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right. Let's get back to the stories and let's talk iPads, because I know there's some of you that might have got caught up with the rumor mills. And yes, none of that is technically official, but there was a while where reports were saying, oh, the new iPad Pros and iPad Air are coming at the end of March or April. Well, March passed, didn't happen. April's here, hasn't happened yet. There's still a lot more time. But Bloomberg's Mark Gurman has hinted and reported that it's been pushed all the way for a launch in May. And the latest report from Apple suppliers say that new iPads have been repeatedly postponed. We know that people are anxious, but the estimated timeframe for the release has been pushed back again from March to April to May. Now, according to DigiTimes, this week they cited sources at Taiwanese suppliers who said mass production of camera lenses for the iPads has been repeatedly postponed, and vaguely mentions that a production launch will take place in May. We've also heard that potentially the actual OLED displays being manufactured were also another reason potentially for the delay, due to low, poor panel production yields. So the thing is that the iPad Pro, we know, talked about this all the time. You know, there's a lot of you that have not even upgraded your iPad for 3, 4, 5 years, because if you're doing emailing, web surfing, watching content, and playing some games, you've been able to do that really, really well for the longest time without needing to upgrade. Maybe you went at least up to the 12.9-inch iPad Pro just because you wanted that super big size. But even fundamentally, I know a lot of people who never even bought the Apple Pencil 2 and were just still using the standard Apple Pencil and doing just fine with their digital art. So there's obviously betas that get released, and in iPad OS 17.5, the beta potentially revealed a new Apple Pencil and squeeze gesture. So it references a new fourth generation Apple Pencil, and there's obviously rumors that a new accessory would be coming out soon. It's the code reference is V4, and right now we know there are only three versions of the Apple Pencil: the original one, the Apple Pencil 2, and then the latest revamped, kind of less feature-packed but more affordable, I'm not going to call it Apple Pencil 3, but that's the current Apple Pencil as well. We know that a new pencil is also rumored to launch alongside the new iPad Pros and iPad Air models with USB-C as well. So the code revealed that there could be a squeeze gesture for certain actions. Now, details are very slim. Maybe think of it as a contextual menu type thing if you wanted to add a sticker, maybe add in a text box, a signature, or a shape in image editing apps. That's at least what the code suggests, so we don't know 100% yet, but MacRumors reported on, like we talked earlier, maybe Apple Pencil support with Vision OS, and they're also reporting here now that there could be some sort of a squeeze gesture that's in the new Apple Pencil for the new iPads. Some of the other stuff we know is because it's using the OLED displays, right? OLED displays, better contrast, vivid colors, lower energy consumption, and a thinner panel itself. So a lot of reports say that this new iPad Pro will, and it's reported and rumored, will feature thinner bezels than the previous model, and the body itself will also be slightly thinner. Now, I think the rebuttal to that is a lot of people say, keep it as thick as it is right now. Give me a little bit more battery. Now, the iPad Pro has pretty ridiculous battery life. I mean, I never feel like it's been low on battery, and it definitely lasts for a while, even when it's sitting idle. But yeah, do we need a thinner iPad, or would we like the same iPad with more battery? I think the latter is definitely true. Absolutely. Also, the new iPad Pros are rumored to gain a landscape camera, front-facing feature. So right now, if you hold the iPad Pro in a vertical position, the camera's at the top of the center. The reports are that the camera will be moved to the side, so it'll be centered when you're talking to someone when it's laying horizontally. So we'll see what happens. You know, M3 chip, OLED display, there's been reports that there might be a matte display option for the new iPad Pros. So we'll see what happens. I don't know if we're going to find out in April, May. I literally have no idea, but they're coming soon. And at the same time, I have an iPad Pro with an M1, and I did not upgrade to the M2. And I don't know if I'm going to upgrade for this new one. Because it's a new display technology, I'd probably lean yes, but the mini LED display, I know OLED is the best when it comes to, you know, pixel by pixel control, but how much of an impact will it make on my workflow and with how I use it? I don't know if it's going to really be that much of a game changer. But look, if it's a new display, I'm probably leaning towards it. But I remember when I went from, was it an A? Please don't drill me on this, guys and gals, but was it like an A13 or A14 chip? And then I moved to the M1. And after I did that, I was like, I don't use this any differently at all. So I probably could have avoided that jump. Also, if you want to hear about new AirPods, I talked about it in my most recent video. Two new AirPods 4 models are expected to launch in September or October. So these would be two AirPod 4 models. So think of like a higher tier model and a lower tier model. Both of them will have better fit, improved sound quality. They will have a charging case with a USB-C port, but the higher end AirPods 4 is expected to include active noise canceling and a speaker in the charging case that can play a sound for Find My. So those are two very AirPods Pro type features that would be coming down to the AirPods 4. They also reports say that Apple is planning to then discontinue the second generation and third generation AirPods after they decide to launch two of these new fourth generation models. We don't expect to see anything with new AirPods Pro until next year at the earliest. The reports is that iOS 18 will offer a new hearing aid mode for the AirPods Pro. And that's really fascinating because remember, we saw adaptive audio, conversational awareness, and personalized volume. Those were added as free software upgrades for AirPods Pro owners. And then obviously it worked on the AirPods Pro with the USB-C on it, on the case. But it's completely free. And this new hearing mode looks like it'll also be completely free as well. So we'll see what happens. All right, let's talk a little, you know, we have some quick hitters, but they're all really iPhone related. And if you want to talk about iPhone, right, we've dug deep into our last episode, talked about the lawsuit against Apple as an illegal monopoly. And I want to be clear on something because at least on my video, I had to explain this and I didn't think I did. But look, the reason why the stances that I take on the different key points of this argument of, okay, Apple versus the U.S. government is actually not because I'm going to put in air quotes, Apple fanboy. But if this was Samsung, if this was Google, I would have argued what those key points said about that company if that company just had a totally different name because of how much of a reach they were. You know, people said, oh, you just did a video on Apple Park. You're such a defender. I'm like, I never outright actually said Apple is right and Apple's going to win this. I don't know that. We're going to let the courts decide that. However long it takes, 5+ years, we'll wait to see how it plays out. My take, though, is that Apple is not a monopoly, but have they had anti-competitive behavior and practices? Absolutely. 100%. But does that mean they're a monopoly? Maybe if the definition of what the government sees as a monopoly has changed, but some of the things that they were arguing about seemed like such a reach, especially with for people that it seemed like aren't as deeply embedded and in this tech space as we are. There still is choice in the market. Whether or not this matters to the government or people, 65% of the market with choice in the market isn't a monopoly. But again, locking people out of iMessage, their app store practices has been anti-competitive and not beneficial for the consumers. The whole Apple Watch not working on other platforms, other watches, really, are they trying to work the same way on the Apple platform? Like, no one is doing that. That is kind of, as time has gone on, the watch you buy has typically been linked to the ecosystem you're in. Did Apple kind of establish that? The answer is yes. So, but ultimately, do you really want an Apple Watch on your Android phone? And do Apple iPhone owners really want an Android watch with their phone? Probably not. And some people might be saying, oh, this, they already have you locked in. I'm just saying the experience, the software experience and how they work is, in my opinion, better on their native platforms when we're talking about a watch to a phone. But, you know, would I have liked, remember when that app came out that basically had iMessage compatibility on Android? That was fascinating. And it would be make me really laugh if all of a sudden at WWDC 2024, Apple announced iMessage for Android. Remember, we saw iTunes get announced for Windows back in the day. And Steve Jobs jokingly said, like, you know, it appears something like hell has frozen over. Because there was a time where it's like, there will never be a piece of Apple software on a Windows machine ever. Well, guess what? Things change. And we've seen Apple preemptively get ahead of some of the European Union's policies. They put USB-C. They've now, at least overseas in Europe, are opening up the App Store to sideloading apps and third-party app stores because of what the European Union is doing. And I find it really interesting that, you know, for the longest time, Apple has done what they've wanted to do. But, and for better or worse, I don't actually say, I'm not going to say blanket statement, it has been better or 100% good. I do like the move to USB-C for the consumer, but when you're starting to dictate more of what a tech company is doing with their products, there's a fine line there where it gets a little worrisome. Like, wait, you can now tell tech companies, all tech companies, not just Apple, what they can and can't do fundamentally. That can be a little, that's where I don't like that. That's where I'm like, we need to really look at this a lot more carefully. So that's where I stand. We'll see what the courts rule, but I'm just, from a tech perspective, Whether or not the company's name was Samsung, Google, or Apple, and they were doing the same exact behavior, I would have had the same exact take. And for the record, I did interview the CEO of Google, and no one came at me and said, oh, you're a Google fanboy now. It's like, I really love tech. Yes, I'm in the Apple ecosystem primarily. I use other ecosystems because it's important, because I want to know it. And if there's a phone, if you want to ask me right now, what was arguably, I don't want to say arguably, I'll just say it, the most innovative phone of 2023, I guess, because it rolled into 2024 a little bit, was the Pixel 8 Pro. The AI features on it, and now the fact that Gemini, which is their AI platform, which is being spread out to other Android phones and reportedly may be integrated into Apple's OS in some way, shape, or form. The fact that that story is even on the table shows how influential from an AI feature perspective that the Pixel 8 Pro is, when it can influence other phones to either use its features or pick up or mimic. Because when everyone says there's not much innovation in smartphones, the Pixel 8 Pro was the most innovative phone that I had ever seen in a long time. You had the temperature thermometer sensor, which is still, someone might say, oh, it's not useful yet. It can be useful, but it's there. The fact that I could scan and figure out roughly what the temperature is if I have a fever just by pointing at me, that's pretty cool. Like, I don't have to put anything in my mouth. Don't edit that part out, guys. But yeah, I think the Pixel 8 Pro was the most innovative phone of 2023 / early 2024. And I'm going to stick to that. Just so you know that I do look at the overall scope of tech. Okay, so why are we here now? Well, the point is that Apple versus the US government, iMessage was a big part of it and is a big part of it, being in the center of that conversation. Well, Google may have revealed when to expect RCS support for iPhone that gives you improved texting with Android users, because Apple, I think sometime in November, said like it'll happen later in 2024. So a since deleted section of the revamped Google Messages webpage, which was spotted by 9to5 Google, showed in full text that Apple announced it will be adopting RCS in the fall of 2024. Now, it was removed from its site, okay? But this time frame, which honestly makes 100% complete sense, would mean that RCS support will likely be added to the iPhone alongside of iOS 18. Maybe it'll be part of the beta release so we can check it out, but at the very least, we would see RCS support even happening, you know, when Apple goes from iOS 18 and then, what is it, like a month later, it's iOS 18.1 and they throw in some new features. I'm going to guess that's the timetable it would happen. So this is not a big surprise, but the fact that it was published somewhere and then taken down really kind of adds to the fact that, yeah, this is definitely happening sometime in the fall. Now, what are the advantages of RCS? RCS stands for Rich Communication Services. So some of the bugaboos that have happened with the archaic SMS messaging platform, RCS gives you higher resolution photo and videos, audio messages, you get typing indicators, that little dot, dot, dot when someone's typing away, read receipts, Wi-Fi messaging, and improved group chats, giving the ability for iPhone users to leave a conversation that includes Android users, emoji support. I think some of the reaction support is also in there with RCS. So these modern features, they're already in iMessage, which Apple obviously clearly keeps in-house. And there's also other third-party messaging apps that support things like this, such as WhatsApp and Telegram. So RCS support on the iPhone will extend the features to the green bubbles in the message apps. I swear, I think Apple should just draw, hey, we got iMessage for Android at WWDC. That kind of helps them too. Just some quick hits with the iPhone. iPhone 16 Pro's A18 Pro chip is rumored to have a boost in AI performance, which makes sense, and then retain a 6-core GPU. Thank you. That would be equal to what's in the A17 Pro. Other iPhone giblets, there's an accessory maker is outright preparing for the all-new capture bun. Now, this is what I found interesting. Remember when I got to sit down and talk about camera, And also when Greg Joswiak rode in the cart with me for the Apple Park interview. If you haven't checked it out, guys and gals, go to my YouTube channel. It is a deep dive with some of the leaders of Apple talking about the state of the iPhone. But Joswiak really went deep into the camera and talked about the camera so much. So now, knowing how they're thinking about the camera, knowing how they're like, hey, we don't compare ourselves to other phone makers when it comes to camera. We look at the professional market. Clearly, they're doubling down on the camera. And this whole rumor that there would be some sort of a touch-sensitive button that could be pressed halfway down for focus, pressed all the way down for capture, potentially rolling your finger alongside it for zoom. This would lean into the fact that, yeah, your phone is your camera, and your camera is your phone, and Apple's leaning into the camera even more. Right? So this has been a rumored feature for a while, and now a case accessory maker is making space for a cutout below the power button where this capture button is expected to be located. All right, that's cool. Another report, the iPhone 16 Pro models could feature a new polished titanium finish. So not as raw, not as dull, but polished. A new manufacturing process would result in a glossy appearance, maybe more similar to the stainless steel iPhones, but it would still actually be titanium. And then we've got some of the first iPhone 16 cases that have an outline. And when I say iPhone 16, we're talking about standard, where no longer is it a square lens with two diagonal lenses. They're both arranged vertically, similar to what we saw on like the iPhone 10 and the 8, right? Two cameras stacked there, which would make sense because the report is that spatial video recording is coming to iPhone 16. So these iPhone 16 cases have completely shown that that whole diagonal camera arrangement is donezo. It does not exist anymore. Okay, do you guys want to hear a fun story before we wrap things up? Let's do it. Johnny Ive, you wonder what he's been up to? I'll tell you what he's been up to. Johnny Ive and OpenAI's Sam Altman are seeking funding for a personal AI device. So OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, remember, ChatGPT, yeah, might have sound familiar. And former Apple design chief Johnny Ive have officially partnered up to design an AI-powered personal device. They're looking for funding, according to The Information, who is reporting on this story. Now, if you haven't seen it yet, there's a product called the Humane AI Pin. It's a pin that you wear. It does not have a screen. It projects information on your palm. I haven't used it. For me, I need to try it and use it. I did pre-order one. It's not something that I feel like I will use on the daily, but I definitely want to see what they're thinking, where this might go in my mind, and how we could use this in the future. But the Humane AI Pin is a AI device, requires no screen, but your hand and, you know, gestures to do different things. So we don't know anything about the device that Johnny Ive and Altman are working on, but they're working to get major funding and raising up to $1 billion for an unnamed startup. They are sourcing funds. And, you know, OpenAI has the buzz around ChatGPT. And with all this buzz, if they can do it, why not create a hardware product to complement the software to get this more mainstream into the hands of general consumers, or at least initially the super techie nerdy people like us? Remember, Johnny Ive left Apple as the design chief in 2019. He still consulted with them and worked with them for several years. I believe they said Ive and Apple stopped working together entirely in 2022, and the last report was the latest iMac design was one of the last pieces of hardware that he worked on, and it is quite nice, I must add. So, Johnny Ive still at it. What will be his next tech product? And it could be this new AI product, personal powered AI device that we'll see what happens. I've got to imagine we'll see what this thing is really like in the next 3 years or so. It's not like it's going to pop out in a year, but it is intriguing, and it's fun to hear Johnny Ive's name, you know, for all you Apple fans and lovers through the years. I mean, come on, he had a huge impact in what Apple is today. All right, that is going to do it for this week's episode, everybody. Hey, first of all, we got to give a huge shout out to our Platinum Apple supporters at the $100 level at patreon.com/BrianTong. Brandon Ledford, Gil Cabrera, Wesley Frater, Jarrett Lewis, Michael Gigliotti, Atari Koenigsegg, and Gregory Ford, thank you for all your support. And thank you to all of you who continue to support the show and all my content. It is incredible. But that's going to do it for this week. We'll be back next week. Thanks so much. I took a little break. I had a breather. I'm recharged. I'm refreshed. And we're ready to go because WWDC is what? A month and a half away? A lot of stuff is going to happen until then. So until next time, take care. Be safe. It's the Apple Bits XL, baby. Peace.